Happy New Year and welcome to St Alfred's Online. During this January period, we're looking at a variety of psalms, both online in our online services, and if you're able to come to church on a Sunday, we'll be looking at a variety of psalms as well in our in-person services. And today, just for you, for the online audience, we're looking at Psalm 27, which I've called the Incomparable God. This is a great psalm, and it expresses deep-seated confidence in God, in God's goodness and protection. It's called a psalm of David, arguably the greatest king that Israel ever had. And David experienced God's goodness and protection, but he also experienced suffering and danger and threats to his life. And this is why we can learn so much from listening to how he approaches God in the midst of his ups and downs in life. You see, it's one thing to trust God's goodness and protection when life is going well. You know, you're enjoying your work, you're earning enough money, you're in good health, and the sun is shining. It's easier to trust God when life is going like that. It's quite another thing to trust God when life is difficult, when we're all in lockdown, when our health is not good, when money is tight. And Psalm 27 gives us that both-and approach. It doesn't sugarcoat life. It mentions all sorts of struggles in life. And yet, in the midst of those struggles that David experiences, he also expresses this deep-seated confidence in God's protection. So first of all, what I want to do is I want to look at the bad news that's mentioned in this psalm, and then we'll look at the good news. So let's look at the sort of bad news, the things that are really problematic that David mentions in this psalm. Here's a list of things that he mentions that none of us would really want to experience. He talks about fear in verse 1, evil people in verse 2, enemies in verse 2 and 6, war in verse 3, trouble in verse 5, feeling forsaken in verses 9 and 10, oppressors in verse 11, foes in verse 12, and false witnesses who are slandering his character in verse 12 as well. Now that is David's lived experience, and it's an example of real life struggle. David's confidence in God is all the more admirable because he knows what it's like when life goes wrong. He knows what it's like to be afraid. He knows what it's like to feel alone, or he knows what it's like when your reputation is slandered falsely. The struggles that David faces are examples of what we all face. Life is difficult, and the Christian faith will not protect us from struggles and pain. The question is whether our faith is deep and robust enough to sustain us through those struggles. The day of trouble that David mentions in verse 5 could be any day, couldn't it? And you don't need me to tell you this. Here in Melbourne, we have lived through two very difficult years, and we're not out of it yet. Life is tough. If it's not COVID, it's climate change, or racism, or financial problems, or the cost of housing, or politics. And it's in the midst of all this bad news that our confidence in God is tested and deepened and developed. And that's the good news. So let's look at the good news now. For people of faith, the good news is that we don't go through these struggles on our own. God is very real to David, and he praises God for both his protection and his presence. Let's look at how he develops that through the psalm. So in verses 1 to 3, I've called it, "The Lord gives us confidence." David calls God my light, my salvation, and the stronghold of my life in verse 1. What does it mean to say God is my light? Well, light gives us direction and certainty in the midst of darkness. Think of turning on the light in a dark room. The light shows you where to step and helps you avoid hitting all the furniture. When God is my light, I can see clearly the direction that I want to take. And David says, in that light then, I have nobody to fear. There's no one that I need fear. When David says the Lord is my salvation, he means God comes to our rescue. God acts on our behalf. David didn't know the ultimate salvation that we know in Christ, but he still had a sense that God would protect him and keep him from harm. And this is underlined when he describes God as a stronghold. A stronghold is a refuge and a place of safety. Think of somewhere that you can go to if there are bushfires, for example, something we in Australia know about. A stronghold is somewhere where you will be protected. David's point is that with God as your light and your salvation and your stronghold, there is no one to fear. It's extraordinary confidence in God. Because my feeling is that fear of people actually bedevils us and really hampers us. We fear failing our bosses. We fear failing, or we fear not keeping up with our peers. We fear getting it wrong with family members. We fear letting people down. And rather than live with these fears, let's take David's words here and pray them into our hearts. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Well, the obvious answer is nobody. If the Lord is your light and your salvation and your stronghold, there is no one you need fear. Verses 4 to 6, I've headed, "The Lord keeps us safe." This section continues the theme of God's protection, but David's thinking here shows a remarkable change. David says that the thing he desires the most is to dwell in the house of the Lord for the rest of his life, there to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, verse 4. It is there that David will be kept safe in the day of trouble, verse 5. Now, is David here saying that he wants to become a priest? He wants to leave the battlefield, leave all the hurly-burly of being king, and retreat into the sanctuary of they haven't built the temple yet, but retreat into the sanctuary of the holy place where God is. Now that would conflict with the first three verses where David is very much exercising his faith in the battlefield where wicked men attack and armies besiege him. So I don't think he wants to become a priest. I think what he means here is rather than becoming a priest, he has a deep desire to know God's presence in his life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. It's God's presence that David feels will protect him and fill his heart with joy. Look at verses 5 and 6. David doesn't just want God to protect him. David wants to know God. David wants to be able to gaze on God and to know his presence, his closeness, his intimacy. Now let's just reflect on that for a moment. Here is a national leader, a political and military leader, with all the cares and issues of the nation on his shoulders. He has plenty of concerns and troubles that would keep him busy every day and awake every night. And the one thing he seeks is this close and personal relationship with God. Now I know many of you are busy. Many of you have a lot on your mind. Many of you carry huge responsibilities. And I cannot say too strongly that you must not let all these worldly troubles rob you of a personal relationship with God. Not only will God help you with all the things that trouble you, but as David says, knowing God's presence will fill your heart with joy. Now the mood of the psalm changes. We leave this confident David and this joyful David who's praising God, and we listen more to him as he turns to prayer. So verses 7 to 12 I've titled Prayer to the Lord. Look at verse 7. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. The confidence of the earlier section is here replaced by a fragility, even perhaps an anxiety. Look at what David calls out. Hear my voice, verse 7. Be merciful to me, verse 7. Do not hide your face, verse 9. Do not reject me, verse 9. Where has his earlier confidence gone? How can he say with such confidence that God is my stronghold in verse 1 and then be praying here that God not reject him or forsake him in verse 9? Well, I think this again reflects the reality of faith. God is not a God to be taken for granted. David cannot command God to protect him, nor presume that God will protect him. It is not that God is capricious, it's just that God is God and David isn't. Even though we know he has helped us in the past, we still need to humbly pray for his help in the present. We can't take God's protection for granted. And that's why we pray and bring our daily needs before God. For example, I know that God has been very good to us at St. Alfred's and St. Luke's. I'm absolutely confident to say that God has been our light and our salvation and our stronghold. I have no doubt about that. But I also know that we must keep praying and seeking God's blessing each day and each week, and we cannot ever presume upon God. So as you begin a new year, I encourage you to praise God confidently for his past kindness to you, but also pray humbly for his ongoing kindness. Don't take God's past blessings for granted. Now we come to the last two verses, which I've entitled, The Lord Gives Us Confidence, verses 13 and 14, which is exactly the same title as the first three verses. So this idea of having confidence in God, it provides the bookends to the psalm. At the end, David reaffirms his confidence in God's goodness, and he says this in verse 13. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's confident about God's goodness, but he knows, and we know, that God's timetable is not always the same as ours. God may answer our prayers today, but he may also require us to wait patiently and with faith. And so the last line of this psalm is a great exhortation to maintain your faith and trust in the Lord despite what happens. Look at verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Even in this last line, the reality of Christian faith is implied. If faith was easy, we wouldn't need an exhortation like this. Waiting for God to act isn't passive. It requires strength and courage. Why? Because life is full of the struggles, the fears, and the darknesses that are alluded to throughout Psalm 27. None of us knows what is coming, what is going to come in this year ahead. Undoubtedly, there will be some struggles, some of those shadows that permeate this psalm. How will you face them? Will you seek after God like David does here? Or will you struggle along in your own fears? This psalm is a great encouragement to replace our fears with faith and to face our battles knowing that God will never forsake us. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Bring your cares to God. Ask his help. Ask for his protection seek his guidance, and then wait for the Lord. Remain strong in heart and keep waiting. The good news is that the Lord is our light and our salvation and our stronghold. Psalm 27 is a great psalm of confidence in God. Why don't you meditate on it over the coming week and pray into your spirit some of David's statements so your own trust in God is refreshed and deepened. God bless you. Amen.